Congressman Antonio Delgado is with us for his third appearance in a row on the Congressional Corner. Congressman, I want to ask you about Georgia. As a state, it means a great deal. As a national vote, it's a question of whether the Democrats are going to be in control of the Senate at a time when so much needs to be done in a Biden administration. What do you think?
I think you're right. It is an important state right now in terms of what the power dynamic will be. It can go a number of ways in terms of whether or not the Senate Republicans will hold the majority, or whether or not the Senate will be flipped. If that happens, you'll have a democratically controlled House, a democratically controlled Senate, and a democratically controlled White House, and that is a very different dynamic than where we have been. In fact, that hasn't been the case since I believe Obama's first 2 years in office, 08 to 2010. So, this is a going through something here in terms of power dynamics. That is significant, and so yes, you're right to point out that Georgia is an important piece in all of this in terms of what the future might look like politically.
The key to Georgia, it seems to me, for whatever it's worth, is the integrity of the people who are running all the way around. It's a Republican state, and yet they went for Joe Biden. If you were down there, what would you be saying to the people of Georgia?
Well, I mean, I think, the word you used is important. It's so important, Alan. I mean, integrity. One of the things that I think is challenging for our democracy right now is the loss, collective loss in faith in it, that it really isn't responsive to the will of the people. And I think there are a lot of Americans out there who believe that, and they're justified in thinking this in many respects, that the system really isn't built or designed to affect them in a way that really speaks to their needs and concerns. It's really a game for a select few special interest groups, those with the means to access it, and that's pretty much it. And so how you restore people's confidence in government, in democracy, depends on the actors in government and who they come across. If the actors they come across in government time and time again tell half-truths or are not good on their word or say one thing and do another or are beholden to outside interests due to the outside influence of money as opposed to their constituents. If that becomes the pattern and practice time and time and time again, then it's only reinforcing people's loss of faith in the system. And so to go back to that first word, integrity, I would tell the good folks of Georgia, listen, just like we all know when a dog, for example, has almost a sixth sense about when it's around fear. I think human beings have that same sixth sense when they're around genuineness, authenticity, realness. You know it's there. You know when it's not there. And so people vote with their gut, and the important thing is to make sure that they're being presented with real options that really speak to that gut feeling. This person, we might not agree on every issue, but I know they're in this for the right reasons. They're in it for the right reasons.
Have you had a chance to talk to Representative Clyburn at all in your time there?
Oh, yes. I've talked to him. Yes. Yes. Clyburn, all the leadership.
Well, he's a great leader. He's a great congressman, I think. And he's talking about subverting democracy now. That's what he is saying. And he's calling out Lindsey Graham for being a leader in that. Do you have any reaction to that?
Well, listen, this goes back to everything I just found about, and I don't need to rehash people's personal history. I mean, it's documented. There are too many folks in Washington that have said one thing publicly, even have gone so far as to say, you can hold me to this. You can take me at my word, and then have done a complete about face. A complete about face. And so when you have individuals who have displayed that type of behavior consistently, and I would argue tragically, continue to still be able to hold power, still able to hold power in the face of that duplicitousness, in the face of that hypocrisy, that is concerning to me, because it also reflects that a lot of people almost assume that that's just how it is. That's just what to expect when it comes from our elected officials. And that's what we got to really make sure we put back against. And it's both the kinds of people who decide to run, but it's also the electorate and setting a bar and saying, listen, we need folks to be a lot better than this.
You have a bill with Representative Cutco to study the spread of communicable diseases in nursing homes. Is this because of COVID, or is it greater than that?
Well, you know, COVID certainly is a big reason in terms of the impetus of this bill. You know, I thought it was important, you know, to partner up on a bipartisan basis to address an issue that, you know, really we saw, you know, the fallout of at the beginning of COVID, with some of the outbreaks and the hotspots happening, you know, in nursing homes. And it's important for us to make sure that we're doing all we can, you know, to protect against future outbreaks. And so the Keeping Seniors Safe from COVID-19 through Home Design Act, that's the name of the bill. It takes steps to address housing safety measures, and again, to stop the spread of COVID. It requires HUD, HHS, and USDA to examine housing features. So, you know, updated HVAC systems, motion sensors, sinks, expanded outdoor spaces, you know, what we can do to really explore all of our options to make, you know, homes and nursing homes in particular better suited to prevent the spread of diseases like COVID-19. So, yes, I was happy to be able to introduce that bill.
We just had another U.S. Census, and New York is projected to lose representation in Congress. That ties in with your efforts to revitalize rural America, keep young people in rural communities. How does it work? So what do you make of the census and the potential implications?
Well, you know, it's really concerning that we have tried to cram this process in during the middle of a pandemic, and that the administration has, I think, really try to undermine getting an accurate count. And you know, the value of getting an accurate count is this is how we apportion and appropriate funding as well. We want to make sure that communities are being equitably accounted for. And you can't do that if you don't have an accurate count. And so, you know, and this particularly affects, like you noted, our rural communities, where you are seeing some of the gaps, like the digital gap, where you don't have broadband access, or you're seeing a lack of affordable housing, or you're seeing, you know, a lack of economic opportunities. And I think if we want to be able to keep families in rural communities and maintain the integrity of our rural communities, it's important, one, that we have accurate accounting so that we fund these communities in the appropriate ways, but it's also making sure that we have investment dollars that can go towards building out broadband access, that can go towards workforce development programs, affordable housing programs, and thinking creatively of ways to keep people home. So that's why I introduced the Rural Revitalization Now Act with my colleague, Abby Finkenauer, which basically provides $50,000 of student loan relief over 8 years for graduates whose primary place of residence is in a very rural area or a small, mid-sized community. So this would encourage and incentivize folks to make rural communities their primary residence, and the benefit for them would be to get up to $50,000 of loan relief. And I think it's thinking creatively in ways to keep families. But again, it's not just doing that. It's keeping them, and it's also providing a marketplace for them to engage. And that's why the broadband piece is so important. That's why the affordable housing piece is so important, because these are the pieces that once you're able to keep families and young folks in the community with relief programs like the Rural Revitalization Act program, you also want to have the infrastructure in place to keep them there as well.
We've been talking to Representative, a Democrat, Antonio Delgado of New York's 19th District, in office since January 2019. Antonio, it's been a while since we've gotten to talk to you, and I am so impressed. Thank you so much for joining us. It really was very helpful for our listeners to hear your voice.
Always good to be with you, and I want to wish you a safe and a healthy holiday season.
Indeed.
And all the listeners as well.
Stay healthy, Antonio. Stay healthy. So important.